Okay, we say today's daf is daf Kif Ches. We're holding the bottom of Kif Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Mishnah continues and is going to tell us about some famous doyrois that we had since the beginning of time. So for instance, the Dor HaMabul, says the Mishnah, Ein lehem chevik olam haba. Well, that we've already had in our previous Mishnah about those that don't have a chevik olam haba. We had the three Molochim and the four Hedyotis. And now our Mishnah introduces Agan Sador, Ein lehem chevik olam haba. But we have now a new concept. Vein oimdim bedin. They don't even get up at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. Why don't they get up at the time of Tchias HaMeisim? So if we look at the Rashi, four lines from the bottom, Le yod ruchi lo din, v'le ruach, ein oimdim bedin, ve'ein lehem ruach liois im atzadikim shiyesh lehem chedik. They're not oimdim bedin, meaning that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, everybody else is oimdim bedin, and then the Bez and Shemal will have to decide whether this person is going to continue into Olam Haba, or whether he was such a terrible sinner that we're not going to allow him to go to Olam Haba. The people at Olam Haba were not going to even bother being done whether they should or whether they shouldn't. And explain the Mefarshim, the reason is because the Dor HaMabul already received the ultimate punishment. The ultimate punishment means that they were totally washed out, literally, in the Mabul. So there's nothing to be done them anymore. Anybody else, punishes on this world, punishes on the other world. These people have been punished to the nth degree. No purpose in having them sit in front of the Beit Mishpat HaElyon, the uppermost court up in Shemayim. And I'm the Bedim because they're not going to survive Tchias HaMeisim, so forget about it. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk. This Pasuk appears right after the Mabul. Le'yodun ruchi ba'odam v'shagam hu basar. The more darshins, what means le'yodun ruchi? Lo'oilam lo'idin. They're not going to have a din. No mishpat to decide their fate. V'le'y ruach. Ruach over here, Rashi means that they're not going to get up with all the other nishamois that would normally go le'oilam haba. So that's the Dor HaMabul. Now we're going to talk about the Dor HaFloga. You all know the Dor HaFloga. They wanted to go and build a migdal for Rosh HaShemoyim to go and fight against the Rabbi Yishlam Kaviyochel upstairs in Shemayim. Anyway, what does it say about the Dor HaFloga? They don't have a Chevik Olam Haba. However, we don't discuss whether Oymed Badin. So apparently, like 99% of all the other people, they are Oymed Badin. Why? Because we don't have a pasuk otherwise. Shneimer, like I said, in the pasuk v'yofetz Hashem oisam misham al pnei kol aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu went and scattered all the Dor HaFloga all over. V'yofetz Hashem oisam oylam hazeh u'misham hafitzam Hashem li'oylam haba. However, no pasuk dealing with din u'mishpat in the oylam ha'emes. And now we talk about the anshe sedoim roim v'chatoim. What does it say about them? Also, ein lehem chevik olam haba. Shenema v'anshes. Yes?
In what way the Dor HaFloga was worse than the Dor HaMabul? Apparently, since they are not going to be judged. They are in a higher madrigal.
The Dor HaMabul is not going to be judged, but the Dor HaFloga will be judged. The reason why the Dor HaMabul will not be judged, say the Mefarshim, the purpose of judgment is to decide whether the person gets punished or not. So in the Mefarshim, the Dor HaMabul has already received the ultimate in punishment, and that is, not only were they destroyed and that they were killed, there's no zecher of the Dor HaMabul anywhere, gunished, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote them off the world at the time of the Dor HaMabul. So there's nothing to resurrect, there's nothing to go and bring back. Let's go and have a din. Let's see, maybe they should be. Zoicha Olam Haba. There's nothing to talk about. They already received.
Worse than the Dor HaFloga,
yeah, that's what it comes out. Exactly right.
But why were they worse than the Dor HaFloga denied the greatest of them altogether?
Well, we'll see in Mitzvah and the Amud Aleph that the Gemara considers the worst of the worst to be Chomos. People that are just thieves and steal and steal and steal. The Gemara will say that even though the Dor HaMabul was mushchis in the sense that they had people living with animals living with people, the chsam, the gzar din was only nechtam on gezel, because people stole from one another. The Dor HaFloga, people were too friendly with one another, and that's why they got together to build the Migdol. The only way to stop them, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to scatter them all over so that they wouldn't be together anymore. So we see that the thievery in the Dor HaMabul was very prominent, and apparently there was none like that in the Dor HaFloga. So getting back to the Mishnah, Dor HaFloga, Elam Chem Kambo, Mishnah Mefitzim Hashem. Now, two lines from the bottom. Anshi sedoyim ein lehem chelik olam b'bosh. Nemar anshi sedoyim roim v'chatoyim l'Hashem mi'oid. What's his double lashon roim v'chatoyim? Roim b'olam hazeh chatoyim li'olam haba. Aval oim debedim. They will be oim debedim, because Baruch Hu will decide at that time whether some or all of the anshi sedoyim should have the benefit of tchias ameisim or not. Reb Nechemi Oimer, Eilu v'Eilu ein oim debedin. Who the Eilu v'Eilu? We referred to three parties so far. We had the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFloga, and Anshi Sedoyim. So Reb Nechemi is Eilu v'Eilu. The bottom Rashi says is referring to the Dor HaMabul and the Anshi Sedoyim. That about both of them says Reb Nechemi, Eilu v'Eilu ein oim din badin. So explains Rashi that obviously Reb Nechemi holds like the Tanakama, like the Dor HaMabul, because the Dor HaMabul, the Tanakama also said, Ein Oim Din Badin. The Gabi, the Anshi Sedoyim, the Mishnah said, Aval Oim Din Badin. So says Rashi, Ubechod the Paligram Nechemya. Nechemya argues on the second case, but not on the first case. The first case about the Dor HaMabul, everybody agrees, Ein Oim Din Badin. This is Machloikis, only the Gabi, the Anshi Sedoyim. Then what's the reason why Elu v'Elu Shenem, it's in the Pasuk. Pasuk in Tehillim. Al keinu yukumu rishoim v'amishpot v'chatoim v'adas tzadikim. What is this double lashon? L'chayr, this is repetitive. Al keinu yukumu rishoim v'amishpot. The rishoim are not going to come v'amishpot. And the chatoim v'adas tzadikim. Al keinu yukumu goes on both parts of the Pasuk. Al keinu yukumu. One, the rishoim v'amishpot. And al keinu yukumu the chatoyim badas tzadikim. Explains more what's the difference between the two. Al keinu yukum rishoim b'mishpat zedor hamabul. Chatoyim badas tzadikim elu anshei sedoyim. And about both of them, they are not going to get up. Not only not that they're going to be zoicha to olam haba, they're not going to even get up ledin, because both of them have already received the ultimate punishment on this world. There's nothing to talk about. That explains the Gemara. So Amruloi, what are the Chacham, the Tanakama hold? Ein oim din badas tzadikim. We agree with you that the second part of the Pasuk, when it talks about the Adas Tzadikim, Chatom Adas Tzadikim, that's referring to the Anshei Sedoyim. Now how do I know that the first part of the Pasuk, Le'yikumu Rishoyim Vamishpat, is referring to the Dor HaMabul, says the Tap Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk, Ki Rabba Ro'as Ha'odam. Rabbis Haro'o, that means that they were Rishoyim. Tremendous Ro'o, tremendous Rishus. How do I know Chatoyim Adas Tzadikim referring to Anshi Sedoyim, says Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk about the Anshi Sedoyim that they were Ro'im v'chatoyim l'Hashem Ma'oid. Oh, so we see the word Chatoyim is referring to Anshi Sedoyim. So Omer Le'ed Chum said that second part of Ein Oim Adas Tzadikim, you're right. It's talking about Anshi Sedoyim. Chatoyim. They're not going to get up Adas Tzadikim. Avul oim din badas rishoyim. They will get up to, in the times, in other words, in the Eder, together with a group of rishoyim, when the ultimate day of judgment comes. There will apparently be two groups. The Adas Tzadikim will be on one side, the Adas Rishoyim will be the other side, and the Anshi Sedoyim will be present. They're just not going to go on the Tzadikim side, they're going to go on the Rishoyim side. That's why Rashi says in the third line, Chayim v'nidayim. They will get up at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, and they will have their Din Torah, their Mishpat, to say, should they or should they not be Zoicha to Tchias HaMeisim or Chas HaSholem to other punishments. In the parentheses it says, Meraglim ein lehem chelik olam haba, shenem av yusu anoshim maitzi dibas oret ro'am ha-magefa lefnei Hashem. This is talking about the Meraglim, It says, "V'yamusa b'olam hazeh b'magayfo li'olam haba." What about the Dor HaMidbar? Dor HaMidbar ein lehem chelek olam haba ve'ein oimdim b'din. Both ein lehem chelek ve'ein oimdim b'din, just like we had by the Dor HaMap. What's the reason why? Says the Gemara, "Shenemar shein pasuk b'midbar zeh yitamu v'sham yamusu." So the double lashon yitamu yamusu ein lehem chelek haba ve'ein oimdim b'din. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar oimer aleihem hu oimer. Isfali chasidoi korsi brisi alei zovach. No, about these, they will eventually be oymid ledin. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, go and gather to me, my people, and we're going to decide what their fate is at that time. Adas koyr, sorry?
That's not including the Levim or that?
I wonder why you ask about the Levim.
Because they did not participate in the...
You're talking about they didn't participate in the Eger. Here we're talking about the Dor HaMidbar, and the Dor HaMidbar sinned because they did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They believed what the Meraglim told them, lock, stock, and barrel, and said, "Mi yitein museinu b'midbar," instead of having to go to this new country where there are all of these Anokim and all of these frightening things, they lost their emuna and bitachon and rabbeinu shalom, and they said, "Halavai, we should have died in the midbar." So, because of that, they were punished. Never that they were killed in the midbar, as you know, and none of them went up to Eretz Yisrael. So, Gemara continues on, says nothing to do with the Kohen Levi Yisrael. That was anybody and everybody that was in the midbar at the time. The only two exceptions to the rule were Yeshua and Kalev. And of course, all those that were younger than 20 and older than 60. But getting back to
Aaron
and Moshe Rabbeinu passed away for other things, nothing to do with the Dor HaMidbar. Adas Korach in Asida Lales. That Adas Korach is not going to go up. Shenema says in the pasuk, "Vatchas aleim oretz oylam hazeh vayoyv demitoich hakol li oylam haba." Devar Bekiva. So, nothing to talk about. They're not going to come up at the time of Tchias and Meisim. Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Aleim Oimer, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem Emesim Chaya, Moir Cha'ol Vayyo'al, Stak Emes. They're going to die. And they did die. And they went down below. Moir Cha'ol. But Vayyo'al, eventually they will come up and be resurrected at the times of Tchias and Meisim. So as you can well imagine, all of the categories that we've discussed in our Mishnah, starting from the Mabel, all the way to the Adas Koyrach, all of this is going to be discussed in greater detail over the next few days in the Gemara. So Tana Rabban, we start off the Dor HaMabul, Ein Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. Notice he doesn't talk about yes Oim Demedin, Nisht Oim Demedin. He just says Tana Kama, Ein Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. Shin Hemet says the boss, Vayimachas Kol Yikum HaShal Pnei Adama, Vayimachas Kol Yikum Boilam HaZeh, Vayimachu Men Oretz. The Gemara left out the second part of the Pasuk. Vayimachas Kol Yikum HaShal Pnei Adama, and then the pasuk continues on, v'yimachu min ha'aretz. So what's that double lashon of v'yimach and v'yimachu? V'yimach v'olam hazeh, v'yimachu l'olam haba, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira oimer, lo'i chayin, they taka don't have tchias and meisim like the Tana Kama said, v'lo'i nidoinim, and also there is no din Torah at that time, shenemar, le'yodin ruchi ba'odim li'olam le'din ve'lo'i ruach. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is identical with the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. If you go back to the Amud Beis, you'll see he started off the Mishnah the same way. Same thing. In other words, we have a two pshatim of the word layodin. According to the first pshat, layodin is from Lashon Din, that they were not going to face judgment, no mishpat. Here, according to the second pshat, the word yodin is from Lashon nadon. What does nadon mean? Nadon means a sheath. Sheath is a covering to something. So in this case, every person, the outside body, the guf, is the sheath to the neshama inside. So that's what the pasuk is telling us. Yodin ruchi shleitei nishmoson. Their neshamos are not going to return to their nadon, to their gufim, but they're not going to be Zoycha Tchias Ameis. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yoy, yes?
Can you explain what's the sequence in a way? between Din and Olam Haba and
Tchiyat HaMit.
There will be Tchiyat. For those of you that really want to delve in this in great length, at the end of the article they have an extra 3, 4, 5 pages going through a lot of these terms and a lot of these. If you look at the appendix, you'll see it is the Messianic era, the resurrection of the dead, and the world to come. If you go through it, you'll see that there are numerous views as to when and where these will all take place. But on a simple level, I say simple because I'm a simple type of guy, what's going to happen is, Mi'at Hashem, there's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim. People are going to arise, they'll be resurrected. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will have to make the ultimate decision. Will this person go L'Olam Haba or not go L'Olam Haba? And therefore they're going to have a new Din Torah, so to speak. And that Din Torah will see how good or how bad that person was B'Olam Hazeh, how much he has already suffered punishment B'Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, how many nuzchusim he has perhaps gotten post-mortem by his family and friends davening for him, saying, learning for him, giving tzedakah in their honor, etc. All of this will be put back into the evidence that will be presented. Then a decision will be made by the Bez and Shemala. Will this person go L'Olam Haba or not go L'Olam Haba? As you saw in the first Mishnah of our Perek, the vast majority will go L'Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. However, there are notable exceptions. We had those exceptions already enumerated in the first Mishnah. And now we have all of these classes in the second Mishnah, whole groups of people like the Dor HaMavel, the Dor HaFlog, the Dor HaMidban, the Dor HaDas Koyrach, and Anshe Sedoyim, that are automatically disqualified, the Olam Haba. Question is, will they even get up for Mishpat purposes? And says our Mishnah, some of them won't even get up for Mishpat because there's nothing to talk about. It's an open and shut case, such as the Dor HaMavel, who were totally obliterated from the face of the earth because of their hashchasa. They are not going to even get up for purposes of the Din Torah to decide whether they're going to go Li Olam Haba or not. Okay?
Messiah comes prior and Armageddon and all that.
I'm not sure what Armageddon is, but in terms of the Mashiach coming, that once again is a machloikis. Not only is a machloikis in the Mefarshim, the Poskim, but it's already a machloikis in our Gemara, where Shmuel said that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Imoisa Mashiach Edo Shibud Malchias Bulvot. So, according to that view, which apparently is the commanding view, so to speak, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to bring the Mashiach, during that period of time, we will no longer have to worry about all the gezeirois of the Umayis Olam, and we'll be able to learn Torah freely, and we'll be able to go and do mitzvahs freely without any problems. Sometime thereafter, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to go and make the Tchiyas HaMesim. After Tchiyas HaMesim, we'll call him Olam Haba, and that's what the Gemara said earlier, Ayin Leiroasa Elikim Zulascha, that none of us have even any idea of what that could be, the Olam Haba, because all of the nevuas that you find in the Nevi'im about the future times when we will have the Geula is only talking about Mashiach. However, post-Mashiach, into Olam Haba, then Ayin Leiroasa, there's no way to describe it, there's no way even to consider it. Although the Gemara did give us a shtickle premonition, the Gemara said it's going to be like Yayim Yoshen HaMeshumar Misheshes Mebreshes. But that, of course, in itself is a very esoteric statement. You can't say that the whole Olam Haba means that we're going to drink wine all day that's 6,000 years old. So, bottom line is, Mashiach comes first, Tchiyas HaMesim eventually, and then Olam Haba.
Okay? The whole beating, their swords, the plowshares, when's that going to happen?
That's a very good question. I'm hoping it's going to happen in Mashiach Zeiten, and that therefore there will no longer be Melchomis between the Umayis HaOlam, and certainly not against Klal Yisrael, because at that time, no longer any Shibud Malchus, everything will be peaceful, so that we'll be able to learn Torah all day and do mitzvahs and masa toivim without any hindrance. But once again, you're the one that has the art scroll Gemara. Please, after the shiur, look through the appendix, and if you want, you can report to us on Sunday before or after the Rebbe and Susie about what it says.
Which takes precedence, Susie or the Mashiach?
It depends for whom. For you, Susie takes precedence. Because we want to get you married ASAP. Mashiach will wait 5 minutes longer. Well, I hope Mashiach comes immediately, and I hope that you'll become a chassan immediately. Since Mashiach ben David ba, the lo be most lo be erev Shabbos, lo be erev Yontiv, so the Mashiach is not going to come today. But maybe you'll send out an email at the end of the day that Mazel Tov, that Baruch Hashem, you've become a chassan. So in that respect, the chassan can come before the Mashiach. Anyway, let's continue on right side because we have a long blot, and we are now holding at. We read the Yidur B'Yehuda ben Beseda. We're up to Rav Nachum Rav Yosi Oimer. That's the fifth wide line. Philip B'Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machzen Neshamas L'Pekarim Meisim. Even at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return the Neshamas to the dead bodies. Nishmasan Koshen Lehem B'Gehenim. They Nishmasan Koshen. Now what means Nishmasan Koshen B'Gehenim? Says Rashi, the first Rashi, right after the Mishnah. Nishmas Atzman Sarfosan. These bad guys, the Dor HaMabel, their neshama is going to burn their own guf. Nishmas Atzman Sarfasan. Dechsev, Ruchachem Eish Techalchem. Your ruach, your neshama inside you will be like the form of a fire that will, Chas V'Sholem, consume you. So, even at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, everybody else is getting up, the Dor HaMabel's neshamas are going to continue to burn their gufim because of their, unfortunately, their terrible punishment for their terrible sins. Shnemar, like it says in the Pasuk, Te ruchashash, teu dukash, ruchachem eish tuichalchem. What means teheru? Teheru is from Russian heroin, which means you will be conceived in the womb. Chashash, as stubble. Teu, you'll be born like kash, like straw. Then ruchachem eish, a fire is going to come, the fire of the ruach, of the neshama, tuichalchem, and is going to consume you. That's the stubble and the straw, and there'll be nothing left. Turn about Dora Mabel in his go'u, elabishul toivish yishpia, lemakadosh baruch. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Dora Mabel. Why did they err and sin so terribly? And the reason is because the Dora Mabel were nisgo'u. Nisgo'u is from a Russian gaiva. They were very arrogant and pompous. And the reason is, bishul toivish yishpia, lemakadosh baruch. Kadosh baruch gave them, if you will, all of the rewards of Olam Haba at that time, and they were living a life of Riley. They were really enjoying every moment of it, to the point that they became very pompous and arrogant and said, we no longer need Chas V'Sholem, the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the Gemara gives us a number of psukim. All of these psukim follow one after the other in Eoiv, Kapitel Chof Aleph, and all of them are telling us about the utopia in which the Dor HaMabel lived at that time. And the Gemara explains. Umaksibem, what does it say about them? Bateim sholem mipachad. Their houses were free of any trepidation, of any fear. Bloishevet elika aleim. And there was no rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or for that matter, Chas V'Sholem, any other gods, aleim. In other words, they feared no one. And no one was oppressing them with a shevet. Uksiv, shoyri iber v'lo yagil. The shoyr is the male in the cow family, otherwise known as the ox. Iber, it would cause its mate, the female animal, to become uberes, v'lo yagil. And the shichvazera never missed its target. It always impregnated the cow. And the cow, tefalit porosli, this is now the female, tefalit will cause its young calf eventually to be born. V'lo tishakil, it will never miscarry. Now, to us, we don't have that much of a relationship with farm animals, etc. But what the Pasuk is telling us is that there was never a problem with any of the animals. They all were fruitful. Uksiv, it says, Yishalchu katzoin evi lehem. What does that mean? It means that they would send out their youngsters like free sheep out in the streets. They never had to worry about Chas V'Sholem kidnappers and terrorists and people that anti-Semites that would go and hit them or scream at them. They were able to send them out freely. The Yelideim and the Yaldeim and their children, Yeraktun, they would be able to go and make a rakida. They would be able to frolic and to dance wherever they wanted.
It's called
called?
Free range. Free range. But remember, you...
Range.
Okay.
Free range.
Okay, good. Uksiv. Let's continue on. Rabbeisa, let's continue on. We'll argue the free rein or free range later on. But here it says, Yisu batoif v'kinar. They would go and constantly play music with the toif, with a drum, and a kinar is with a harp. V'yismachul l'koil ugav. And they would all have a simcha. They would enjoy hearing the beautiful flute. Uksiv. Yivlu yameim batoif. Now what means, v'shnoisim bana'imen. What does that mean? That they would live their days in good, and their years, by the imam, in all types of pleasantness and pleasantries. Uksiv, it says, Uvarega she'ol yichatu. Chas v'shalom, when the time came when they had to pass away, they would pass away in a split second. They didn't have to suffer. They didn't have to be in a coma. They didn't have to be on a respirator. Uvarega, in one rega, she'ol yichatu, they would go down and they would be buried. V'hi gorma l'sha'amru l'kel. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them so many brachas and so much goodness that they had nothing to worry about, that caused their downfall. What did they say to the Rabbeinu Shlom? Sur mimenu, you can leave us. V'das rechecha lechafatzda, we don't need your drachim anymore. We don't need to know your Torah. We don't need to know your midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because masodai ki ne'avdenu u'manoyel ki nifka boy. What do we need? What do we need God for? Chas v'shalom. What do we need Rabbeinu Shalom? That we should go and serve Him. Umanoil, what can He help us? Kinivka boy, that we should be mispal. The word nivka is from Alosha Begir, right? And Begir Elit Tfilah. We don't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Amru, they said, Klum tzrichem anu loy elatipo shuksham. The only thing that we need from the Rabbeinu Shalom is the rain. Here the rain is not the range, but the rain, R-A-I-N. Kodesh Baruch Hu has already blessed us with these beautiful rivers and these beautiful streams and wells, etc., that go and supply water. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can shut the faucets upstairs forever and ever. We got plenty of water supply down below. As you can see, they were not makir toiv, but quite to the contrary, they basically kicked the Rabbeinu Shlom, Chas v'Shalom, out of their lives. So I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The very reason that was mashpil and toiva, that they should have a good life, they've now turned things on its head, and now they're machas oisi, they're causing me to get angry. Since they spoke about that they don't need the rains, they don't need the water, I'm going to give them the rains, I'm going to give them the water. Etc. Rabbi Yosi Amar, Dor HaMabul lo nisko ela b'shvil gal galu ayin sheduyim l'mayim. The Dor HaMabul became nisko, they became arrogant and pompous because of the gal galu ayin. Gal galu ayin means the eyeball. Sheduyim l'mayim, which is similar to water. How is it similar to water? Normally the eyeball is moist and tears from time to time. And it's clear like the water. Shenemar, in which respect did the gal galu ayin sin? Oh, that their eyes sinned, that they looked around and they took any women whatsoever, and even Eshes Ish, and things of that nature, and adultery. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, since they sinned with the gal galu ayin, which is doim l'mayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu punished them with the mayim, shedoim l'gal galu ayin. So now, the mayonois, explains Rashi, are similar to the gal galu ayin. If you see Rashi, is six lines from the top of the Amud, seven lines. For mayim, shedoyim the gal galu ayin, how is it similar? Mayonois shenoivim, the gal galu ayin, mayonois shenoivim mimokim kotten kimoi ayin. When you say these subterranean streams that come out, they start off, when you see them in the ground, they look like a little hole. And from that little hole bursts out all this tremendous water. So too, you start off, the eyeball is so small, but it's able to see so far. So therefore, there is a similarity there. Number two, in Hebrew, of course, both of them, the ayin comes to the word. The eye is ayin yud nun. And a mayon is me'ein the ayin. And therefore, mayin is called a mayin, which is also ayin yud nun. And perhaps you can go and say, ayin tachas ayin, because they misuse and abuse their gagal ayin. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them the ayin of the mayonois that went and caused the mabul to the world. Continue, Omer b'yoychanan dor ha-mabul b'rabba kilkalu u'b'rabba nidoino. I believe Rashi brings this in Chumash, that they went and sinned b'rabba on a great major scale, and therefore they were nidoin, they were punished on a great major scale. B'rabba, great. B'rabba kilkalu shenema v'yar Hashem ki rabba ruasa adam u'b'rabba nidoino shenemar kol mayonis tohim rabba. So that was midah k'neged midah, rabba k'neged rabba. When Kadosh Baruch Hu eventually stopped the mabul and let the waters recede, three underground mayonois remained forever. We're familiar with the second one. It says, Yimor Blua de Geder. Blua is the name of the Mayan in the town or the city of Geder. Chametzveria, which we're familiar with. Veinaya Rabsi de Birim. And the big Mayan of the town or the country of Birim. For those of you that have ever been to Tveria, you know that the Chametz Tveria Ada Yom Hazeh are nice and hot, and if you put your finger in, Chas V'Shalom, you could burn your finger. So Kadosh Baruch Hu especially left these three Mayonis, so we should have an idea of what the Mabul looked like some 6,000 years ago, close to 6,000. And we continue on. Zuk Tumor Vayta. Kihishchis Kol Boser Is Dark Elo Aretz. What means Kihishchis? Hashchasa. We had this already in the Gemara before, that the Lashon Hashchasa often refers to Aroyas. And Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Malamish Erbiu Behema Al Chai V'Chai Al Behema V'Hakoil Al Odom Yodom Al Hakoil. The Lashon Gemara sounds like it's not that the Behemoths sinned, it's rather that the Bnei Odom sinned. How were they sinning? They were Marbia, they caused to mate a Behema Al Chaya and a Chaya Al Behema. In other words, a Min B'She'ena Minai. And we don't mean two different types of behemah min shemeinu minoi. We're talking about a chay mit a behemah mehim mit a chay. V'hakol al odam, the odam al hakol. And people participated in what's called bestiality. That unfortunately they lived with animals and animals lived with bnei odam. That's among the hashchasa that they did. Omer Baba Bar Kahana, the kulam chazru, all of them stopped living with the other minim. You don't find today that a horse mates with an elephant, or with a pig, or whatever. Chutz mitushlami, the only one that unfortunately continues living with a different species, is the tushlami. What's the tushlami? Says Rashi, it's a particular bird. Rashi doesn't tell us even a French term. I don't know if we know what that is. But if you look at the Rashi, six lines from the bottom, on the right-hand side, chutz mitushlami, oifu, she'oichiz adayin tarbis ro'a, she'mizdabig im hakoyim. This is a very, very bad bird. It goes and lives with anyone and everyone, presumably mostly with other species of bird. But maybe it does so many foul acts that maybe it even lives with animals. Wus weiß ich. Anyway, for those of you who want the translation, look it up in the Art Scroll and how does it translate it? Tushlemi is spelled Tushlemi. T-U-S-H-L-E-M-I. Okay?
Really for the birds.
Really for the birds.
What about the horse and the
hamor? It says, you're not allowed to have them be choresh together, go and plow together, because we are afraid that the close relationship might become a little bit too close and too intimate. However, I don't know of any recorded incidents of a shor v'chamor getting together.
Not shor v'chamor, sus v'chamor.
What about a sus v'chamor? A sus v'chamor that lived... A sus v'chamor, if and when they live together, they produce a pered, a mule. But I don't know that there is an attraction one to the other. It could be the owners of the two have decided that a mule is a good thing to have. Maybe it carries more freight, maybe it's more durable, maybe it listens to its owner more than a chamor, more than a donkey. And so they're marbia, but apparently they don't go on their own. In other words, they don't look up in the chamor news the dear Dr. Susie questions that involve Susim and Chamoyrim getting and mating together.
But a mule cannot reproduce.
That's correct. That is correct. Continuously, Mark. So now we're talking about the Mabul, the Imishim, the Noyach, Kates, Kolbosa, Bolafonai. I'm going to end mankind as we know it. Not only mankind, but even animals. Kol basa. Omer Yechanan. Bore eikam agodol koiches shel chomas. Look how terrible theft is. We spoke about this with Rabbi a few minutes ago. And that is, Sharidora Mabul Ovru al Hakoil. The Dora Mabul was over on everything. All Taryag mitzvahs. All mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs loisase, zero. When it came to Aroyos, as you see, they even engaged in bestiality. Can you imagine a person living with an animal? Nebuch, tzedrait. So they're over on everything. However, v'lay nechtam aleim gzar dinam, atchepash yedeyim begezel. What was the Gmar Din when they started stealing from one another? Shenema, kimolo oretz chomos matneyem, and therefore, v'ni mashchisam es oretz. That's the final deal. Uksiv, echomos kom lemat rosha, v'loy mehem, v'loy mehamoinem, v'loy mehemehem, v'loy noya behem. What does this mean? This is a pasuk in Yecheskel. And like many psukim in Yecheskel, there are many different pshatim, and it's difficult to understand. But the way the Gemara explains it, Amr Abluzar, Malami Shezok of Atzmoy Kemakel, it's as if the Chomas stood up. Chomas obviously is not a person, it's not even a being. Chomas is theft. But the theft went and made itself like a makel, like a tall stick. V'omel Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, and stood in front of Hashem, the Omar, and said, V'omel Lefonav, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Yimehem, don't have any rachmunis on the B'nei HaMabul, the Dor HaMabul, V'loi MeHamoinim, and not from their assemblage. In other words, we're not only talking about Yechidim. If you were to go and assemble hundreds or thousands of the Dor HaMabul together, don't even look at them. They all deserve to be punished. I'm a Makel. I'm happy to punish them. V'loi MeHemehem, says Rashi, that means their Maso'am. That means even their freight. Presumably that means their possessions, their mamoin. Don't have rachmanis, not on them, not on the assembled, not on their money. V'loy noyha behem. What exactly noyha behem means? So if you look on the in the Maseres Hashas, he has a pshat, ein behem noya achrai megageya v'noysin leiv elai. The word noya in this connection means that they have no desire or craving for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are totally, totally wicked. There's not one redeeming factor in the Dor HaMabul. They don't even have a yearning towards you, Hashem. And as we saw a few lines ago, quite to the contrary, they rebelled against Hashem and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we need you for? For the water? We got plenty of water in our Nahorois, our Yamim, our Mayonois, etc. You may recall that we had a similar Gemara a few days ago, where the Dor said, Rabbeinu Shlom, the only thing that you supply us with is light. We don't, your Shemesh. We don't need your Shemesh, we don't need your Chama, we don't need your Levana or Kechavim. We have now LED light bulbs, and those last forever, and therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can turn the lights out upstairs, we're done. Anyway, Sigmar continues on. Since we ended off with Leinoya Behem, although the Maseres Hashas explains B'Shem Rashi, Leinoy Behem means that they have no yearning for Hashem. Our Gemara darshins the word Noya as if it's the word Noyach, because as you know, a Hey and Ches are very often mischalef. So the Gemara V'Afal Noyach Nechtem Gzardin. Initially, the Gzardin was universal, not only for the people outside the table, but even Noyach and his family. Shenemar V'Leinoyach Behem, that even Noyach is not going to survive. Continues Gemara Tanur Bishmal, Afal Noyach Nechtem Gzardin. Initially, the Gzardin was Nechtach even against Noyach. Ela Noyach Motzachayim Be'ayni Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu found he, Noyach found charm, chayin in the eyes of Hashem. And Shenemelech says in the Pasuk, Nichamti ki asisim, v'noyach Motzachayim Be'ayni Hashem. That's the last Pasuk, the end of Parshas Bereishis, right before Parshas Noyach. Nichamti ki asisim, v'noyach Motzachayim. Noyach, therefore, was the only exception to the rule. And the Gemara now darshins. V'yinochem Hashem ki oses odom ba'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu was nochem. Now, what means nochem? Nochem means that he changed his mind and he said, I made a big boo-boo. Kaviyochel, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, who needs all these people? All they do is they steal from one another and they're mashchis, they're a bunch of nobodies. So Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind and was upset about the fact that he made Odom Bar. So that's the Pasha Pshat. However, we have a Machlokes. Yosef Dimi Amar Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu Yofa Asisi Shetikanti Lehem Kvoris Ba'aretz. You know what? My decision to go and destroy all of them in the Mabel was the wise decision. My Mashma, where is that Mashma? Ksivach, it says, V'yinochem Hashem, Uksiv Hosam, V'yinachem Uysam, V'yidaber Al Libam. This is talking that after Yaakov Avinu passed away, and he was buried, now the 10 brothers come to Yosef on their knees, begging for forgiveness and saying, oy, 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 Tati is no longer, who knows what type of revenge and retribution you're going to take against us. So, says Yosef, consoled them and said, Avi Yishbiyani Leimar, and after, before he passed away, he said, we should all live together, B'shalom U'B'shalva, and I told him, yes, we're going to do so. V'yinachem Oysam, so he consoled the brothers, V'yidaber Alibam, and he comforted them, that what he's saying is truth, and that in fact, Yosef is not going to take any revenge against the brothers. So what do I see from the word Vayinachem Oysam? That he comforted them, that don't worry, nothing's going to happen. Here too, Vayinachem Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu was comforted by the act that he took, that is, that he killed all of them, and he says, it's good that I killed all of them, and now the world has become one large caver for all of these Dor HaMabel. The Ikariyami, others say just the opposite. I should never have killed out all of mankind and all of the animals. This is by the Maso Egel, where initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to Chas V'Shalom kill Klal Yisrael, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went and said, don't kill them, go and kill me. Go and blot out my name from the Torah. And what does it say? V'yinochem Hashem. We learn this always on the Tanis. V'yinochem Hashem, Hashem changed his mind. Al ha'roa asher dibelasas li'amoy, on the terrible things that he wanted, the punishment that he wanted to give us for the Masa Egel. Zan moichel v'famachtati nochach. Continues Yomar. El tolis noyach. Noyach ish tzadik tam hoyi b'day roysav. We all know the famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Noyach, where Yeshu Dorshin Lignai. And the Gemara doesn't use those terms, but you'll see that that's in fact the machloikis here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, b'doyreisav, v'loy b'doyreisachem. In the door of the Dor HaMabul, then Noyach came out smelling like a rose. He was a real tzaddik b'doyreisav. But if he had been in another door, like the door of Avraham Avinu, he would have been a nobody. Rish Lakish Amar, b'doy reserve, kol shkim b'doy reserchein, madach, in this vile and evil door, he was, what do they say in Hebrew, hechzik ma'amad, he was able to control himself and be a door, even though the total culture of that generation was so evil and so bad. Can you imagine, had he lived in a door where there were other tzaddikim and good to mention, he could have excelled even more than that. And the Gemara now gives two examples. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said, only in that door was he special and not in another door. It's doim l'chavi shol yayin. You have a barrel of delicious wine, which was lying together in a cellar where all the other barrels of wine had gone sour and they're now vinegar. If you go close to the barrel of wine, you'll say, at least one good aroma, one good scent among all of these other bad barrels, which will smell so sour. If you would take out that barrel, for instance, you'd put it into a cellar with other wine barrels, it wouldn't be a miyuchas anymore. And reichanoidif, all of the barrels smell the same, they all have the nice scent, so no miyuchas. Only in that door and not doyres achayr. You have a flask of plaiton, means of perfume, that is sitting in a place where otherwise there's a lot of trash and a lot of excrement and a lot of junk, which really, other than this plaiton, everything stinks to high heavens. It's gefährlich. However, this perfume, Baruch Hashem, is good. Where it happens to be, you smell the good scent of the perfume among all the other dregs. Kol shkeimah makam abaisim. Can you imagine if you would take this perfume and put it in a perfumery, how much stronger you would feel the perfume? It wouldn't all be nullified by its surrounding tenoifis, all of the junk and garbage that causes that smell to be reduced. Right, it says, Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed everything on the face of the world, including the animals. Okay, the people were chote. What does it have to do with the behemoths? Now you're thinking to yourself, well, we said already a few lines ago that the animals lived together with the people and the people with the animals. So didn't they all sin? But remember, the Gemara used the expression Melamed Sheherbiu Behema Al Chaya. Apparently the animals on their own would not have engaged in bestiality or living with other minim. It was Herbiu, it was the people that caused them, that they took the animal and lived with them, or took the animal to live with wild animals, wild beasts. So therefore, the Behema was really powerless. It didn't do it on its own. Machata. So why would they destroy it? A person prepared a chuppah for his son when he's going to get married. And he prepared all different types of delicacies. His son died suddenly, maybe in a traffic accident or whatever. And now he decided to go and to vernichten, to go and destroy or to scatter all of the preparations for the chuppah. Oh, my klumas isel b'shul b'ni. The whole reason why I put the chuppah together is for my son. Achshem meis chuppah lamali. Zavu kodesh baruch hu. Oh, my klum b'rasi behemah v'chaya b'shul adam. Why did I create the behemahs and chayas? To go and serve mankind. Achshem adam choytif. And no people left behemah chay lamali. V'stavu chum the behemahs and chayas. And that's why they also perished together with mankind. Shteg vayit in the post mikol hashem b'charov meis. So anything which was on dry land died. Rashi and Chumash, I believe, bring this as well. V'loy dong shemiyam, because the dogim were not on dry land. By definition, they were under the water. So therefore, they did not die. Dorish Rabbi Yosef ben Kisri, Ma'arech Tzim says in the Pasuk, Kal hu al pnei mayim, tekulal chalkosim ba'aretz. What does that mean? Malam she'in noyech ha-tzadik, mo'ichiech behem. Remember, it took 120 years for Noyech to build the Teva. And during that 120 years, he was saying teichocha on a regular basis. Teichocha, he was giving them Musa. V'yoymalham, asu tshuva, boisai, tichiva. V'yemlam, v'kadosh baruch hu, maybe aleichem as a mabel. Eventually, the mabel is going to occur. And we know, of course, it did. U'makve nivlascham al hamoyim kizikin. And what's going to happen is your neveilos, your carcasses, makve means a maloshen of swimming or floating. They're going to float on top of the water kizikin like empty flasks. Rashi says, zikim, he gives the definition, noidos. Noidos are flasks, like you use for water. Noidos for water. Was it there? Like a fleshel. Fleshel means a small bottle. Shkoyach. So, says the Gemara, they're all just going to go and float on the Pnei HaMayim. Shenema, that's the pasuk. Kal hual Pnei HaMayim. V'loi oid, and not only that, ele shaloichim mehem klol alechol boi oilam. Shenema tekul al chalkosim ba'aretz. What does that mean? That they will now be the role model for all future people that people will curse. You know, it says in Rashi brings in Chumash that Avram was so well respected that Nivruchuvoy kol goya aretz, that all of the people, goyim yidin, there were not too many yidin at that time, but everybody in the world looked to Avram Avinu as being the pe'er hador, being the teferes, the glory, the majesty of the generation. Can you imagine? Person opens his home 24/7, all four sides, to everyone and anyone, all the way from Malachim down to Yishmaelim and everybody in between. And therefore, v'nivruchu, that any father who wanted to go and bless his child would say, I want you to become like an Avram Avinu, that you should be as great and as such a tzaddik, etc. So l'havdol, just the opposite. If a person wanted to go and say, you're such a bad guy, you should be cursed like the Dor HaMavel. That's what it means in the Pasuk, to kula al-chalkosim ba'aretz, that loichim hem klo l'chol ba'yoylem, people will look at them as the highest, or the lowest, if you will, example of how a person can fall, and how a person can be a no-goodnik, to use them as a model for cursing. Vayifne derech kramim. Melamicha you mefanim derech kramim. The word mefanim over here means to go and clear out. What means to clear out? Like anybody that owns a field or owns a kerem, from time to time you have to go and clear out the branches and and anything that accumulates to be able to make a path to walk through the field or walk through the kramim. So it says they were mefanim derech kramim. They were making those paths and clearing out the whatever rubbish or pruning whatever vines, whatever was needed to be done. Is omoloi, and now, so the Gemara doesn't tell us, but Noyech said to them, Chevra, don't bother, because if you're not going to do tshuva, the mabul is going to come shortly, it's going to obliterate the kremim and the sodois. You don't have to go mimafana, you're wasting your time. It's just a matter of short period of time, the mabul will come and everything will be all over. So omoloi.
No?
I'm sorry?
Also kilayim, after rain, you need to check kilayim.
You have to check a line. Okay, so the point is, but now it's before the rain. Now it's before the mabul. There's no purpose in your doing any further cultivation of the field or of your vineyard unless you're going to do tshuva. Without doing tshuva, you're just wasting your time. So Amr Loi, so they said to Mami Ma'akit, if Kodesh Baruch Hu is bringing the mabul, let him bring it now. Why is he waiting and waiting and waiting? It's 120 years. Shol Hashem bring it. Amalehem said, Noach said, pray the achas yeshli lehoitzi mikem. He's speaking in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have one grace at tzaddik on this world that I cannot bring the mabul as long as he is living. And who is that? That is Misushalach, says Rashi. Misushalach at tzaddik. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to bring the mabul as long as that person is alive. Okay. So, if that's the case, if this is going to occur, like you just said now, Noyach, we're not going to bother with the kramim, because the mabul is going to come anyways. In other words, they accepted, so to speak, his advice. But this is really more of a mashal. And the Rashi says in the top, what they meant to say is, yes, we believe in the mabul is going to come, we're not going to bother working our fields, and we're not going to bother doing tshuva, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish us anyway with the mabul. No purpose in getting closer to Hashem. No purpose in doing mitzvahs and mas and toivim. Where our fate has already been written up. Nechtem gzardin. It's all over. So therefore, not only were they not mafanda their kramim, they were not mafanda their neshamas and their gufim, and they said, we're just going to allow ourselves to continue to sin and to err like we did until now. Torah Shova might have said in the pasuk, lapid buz li ashtus. What does this pasuk mean? He said, very strong musar, as strong as a flame. That's why the pasuk begins lapid, a strong flame, a strong fire. The word buz means that they would make fun of him. They would say, yeah, bash, man. You, zokin, you. Noach, who was already at that time 500 years old. What are you wasting your time? What are you building and building and building and building this teva? Amlehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Aleichem is a mabul. The reason is, it's soon going to be a mabul, and I need my Noah's Ark to survive, I and my family, etc. Omru, mabul shulma. What type of mabul are you referring to? A mabul, of course, is a flood. A flood of what? In mabul shul eish, if you're talking about a flood of fire that's going to consume the world, we have nothing to worry about. Because yesh lenu dover acher, others have a gear, so dover echad, we have something, valisa shemai. And its name is Alisa. And Rashi says, six lines from the top, the ein eish shoylen pa. This is a very good, it's a fire-resistant material. Whenever we see the fire coming, we're going to spill out the Alisa, and then it's going to save us, it's going to prevent us from being burnt. Aivim shel mayim, if you're talking about a flood of water, Maybe. Imena oritzu, maybe, if Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it from the subterranean mayonis from down below. Yeshlonu ashoshio shel barzel. That's the word ashtus here in the pasuk. Ashoshio barzel means we have large plates of iron. Shana machapen bemes oritz. We're going to use that to plate the world so that when the water comes up, we'll just plate it with these huge pieces of barzel that will hold the water down. Bimena shemayimu, maybe, if Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring rain from heaven. Yesh lanu davar, the ikuv shemoi, the amri lo ikesh shemoi. Rashi doesn't explain what these things are, but there's something that will once again protect us from the water. Maybe things like large umbrellas or something. But we have something that will protect us, so we have nothing to worry about. Neither from fire, neither from water, not from water down below, not from water up above. Gunish Cesar. Amalhem said, Noach told him, who may be mi bein ikve raglechem. He's going to bring the water from in between your legs. Now, what means in between your legs? Says Rashi, we're talking about the shichva zera, that zera that they used to go and live with animals and with chayis and all the rest, that they were mushchosim. From that very shichva zera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accumulate all of it and make it into like a marble of water. That's how much shichva zera is going to be accumulated, and that will be the source of the waters of the marble. Shenemar, Nochoin l'mayadei rogel. It's ready, nochoin l'mayadei rogel, for those that trip and stumble with their feet. Here, the mayadei rogel means that comes out in between their raglayim, between their legs, and that's referring to the shichva zera. Tanya, meime hamabel koshim ki shichva zera. Oh, like we just said, now the meime hamabel are kosher, they're difficult and hard. Now, what does it mean hard? Shichva zera, of course, is a liquid, it's not hard. But Rashi says that it was hot and over, just like shichva zera at the time of bia is normally hot, it's warm. Here too, these waters are going to be hot, as well as their over, they will be thick. In their fancy English, I think it's viscous. But anyway, satayim meimi hamabel koshim ki shichva zera shenem enochem yadarok, like we just said. Omer of chizda beroyschin kilkalu. The roitzchin that we're talking about over here is once again the fact that they lived the bia when they were heated up, and therefore that's why they were nidoin with the hot waters that consumed the whole world. How do I know that the waters were hot? Because it says that eventually the waters began to subside. It says in the Megillah, it says famously that after Vashti was killed, then the chema of the king was subsided. So we see that the king until now was really hot. He was furious, with a fury, with a heat, with an anger. Here too, in the times of the Mabul, the waters were very hot, that it cooled off, it cooled down. Right, at the end of the 120 years, there was still one more week, and then finally the Mabul began. What is this 7 days all about? This is the week of Shiva. Remember, we said in the Amud Aleph, why didn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu bring the Mabul earlier? Because he waited for the passing of Mesu Shalach, and after he passed, we waited for the family to get up from Shiva. Lamedcha, what does that come to tell you? Hesped and Shul Tzadikim, Ma'akvin Esarponis, Esaparonis Lovai. The Hesped. It's not only, of course, the eulogy. It means the fact that there's a Tzadik, he's Megan on the door, and as long as he's alive, we're not going to go and bring the Paranis. And even after he passes away, for the first few days that were Oisik, Nebuch, and the Hesped, and the sorrow of losing that great Tzadik, that pushes off their Paranis, pushes off the punishment. Devar Acher, the Shiva Sayyamim, Shashina Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seh De Bereshis, Shoyzecham Yoyitz Mimara V'Shekas B'Mizrach, that prior to the Dor HaMabel, the sun used to rise in the west and settle in the east. As a result of the Mabel, it became like a new Shivas Yemei Bereshis, where the sun is now just the opposite. Now the Cham is Yoytzim Mizrach V'Shekeah B'Marach. So that's what it means that they waited the 7 days, meaning that the Mabel itself had the character of a like a new Shivas Yemei Bereshis. Initially, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them 120 years to do tshuva. After 120 years were over, they still didn't tshuva. Says Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give you one more week extension. One more week. If you don't do it then, it's curtains. It's all over. And unfortunately, they didn't learn. And unfortunately, the Mabul was brought 7 days later. Tovarach l'shuva siyam shehit imam mi'ein ha'ilam baba. This Shiva Sayyamim is like a moshel. It means the years in the future. And remember, we had a Gemara before that said that the initial period of time of this world will be 6,000 years, and then after 1,000 years when the world will be desolate and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to start from scratch, so to speak. So therefore, the Shiva Sayyamim is talking about the 7,000 years, remembering that Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his eyes, an Elef Shana is Kiyom Esmael. 1,000 years is like one day. So these 7 days is like 7,000 years. They felt what it means, Me'ed Olam Haba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu would tell them, don't think, okay, you know, a lot of people, when they pass away, one of the things that people say to the Avelim is, they're in a better world. That until now they suffered so terribly, and Nebuch in and out of hospitals, and comas, and respiratory arrest, and this and that, now they're in a better world. Here, Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing them, Chevra, you were in the best world possible. I gave you Mikol Tuv V'Toiv. Remember in the Amud Aleph, we had all of those psukim describing the utopia. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them one last 7 days where everything was perfect to teach them, Chevra, this is what you're going to lose if you don't do tshuva. And they didn't do tshuva, and of course they were all perished. So they fight to the pasuk that Noach brought into the Tevim Mekala Behema Toira, Tikal Cho Shiva Shiva Ishvi Ishtoi, and a Behema Shein, and a Toira, go and bring Shtai Ishvi Ishtoi. Pray tomorrow, come on. Ishisla behema mi isla. I don't even understand this expression, ishvi ishtar. Did you ever come across Mr. and Mrs. Horse or Mr. and Mrs. Donkey? Come on, that doesn't exist. That's ishis by a behema. Om Rav Shmuel Barachmeni, Om Rav Yonis, and the Oyser Shloi Nev de behema veira. Ah, that's what we mean, Mr. and Mrs. These are talking about behemas that did not go and live with other minim, that did not oiver on adulterous relationships with other mates. But rather, they kept one mate, the male and female horse. They were not horsing around with other horses or with other species, but they lived together. That's what he means of Ishus. We don't mean that there was, you know, a Ksuba and there was a Masad Kedushin, Mecheva Bruchas. We mean Shalei Nev de Membavein. Freitim Eno Yoda, how did Noach know, after all, the behemoths weren't wearing around their necks some sort of sign saying, I never sinned? I think Rashi brings this in Chumash that Noach brought these animals in front of the Teva, Kol Shateva, Kol Tosai. If the Teva allowed these animals to enter, then you know that they were innocent. However, the Teva refuses to allow entry to those animals, then you know for sure that they didn't have it. And Bavo Omar mi oisana boin me alein. You didn't even need to go and wait until they came to the door of the Teva and see whether the Teva allowed them entry. But rather, those animals that came on their own is the Chasimin Shlei Nevdi Behem Aveira. Because those that did Aveiras, they stayed away from the Teva, they didn't even stand online. Atzei Lecha Tevas Atzei Goifer. Make the Teva out of Goifer wood. Frank, you want my Goifer? What is Goifer? Amr Rav Adar, Amr Dvei Rav Shila, Zumavliga. Mavliga is a name of a wood called the Mavliga wood. Va'amrila Golmish, it was the Golmish wood. Not sure what either of these terms mean, but they were a type of wood that apparently was good for construction. Even Rashi on Mavliga says, Eitzu, it's some sort of wood, without explaining. It's because Rashi knew what Golmish is. Cedar. But that's on Golmish, but not on a Mavliga. It gives no translation, right? It's a species of cedar, a type of cedar. Right? There's another Gemara that says, I think there's 7 or 10 different species of eras of cedar wood. Right. Tzoyer tasel teiva. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Om Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu Lenoyach. Kvab bo avonim toivis and margulias kadeh shiyu meiris lechem batzoroi. Katzoroi. Even Rashi and Chumash bring two pshatim what tzoyer means. Tzoyer, pasha means make a window that will allow the sun to shine in. But then Rashi also says another pshat is Tzoyer is the name of an Evan Toiva, which shone, which would shine so much that it lit up the whole Teva Katzoroyim like midday. And when you're constructing the Teva, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, make sure at the very top it should be only an Amma, and then as it goes down, it should go down like a triangle, like a teepee, that the sides grow and grow, but on top it should be very narrow. Why the Baruch Hu Dekayim? And that's the best way. In other words, no special esoteric Kabbalistic reason for the Amud Chalal Mala. That structurally, that's the best way it will be able to survive the terrible rains, because then the rains are going to come down and they will slide on the two sides of the teva, the right and the left. What does that mean? Tana, tachtiyim, shniyim, shlishim means three different levels. Right? This was a multi-level residence for a year. So, the tachtiyim, which is the lowest level, the lowest floor, was lezevel. That was for the, if you will, the trash. Emtsoyim, I'm sorry?
Refuse.
Refuse, good, thank you. There's refuse in the basement? Oh, I guess so.
That's where it's stored.
Okay, good. And so in the middle level is Lebaima. That's where the Baima is lived. Elyonim, all the way to the top, which was, of course, much narrower, because as you got to the top, there was only that Amotachalenim Mala, so it was coming up slanty. And on the top level, it was much less room. That was Leodim, that was for Noyach and his family. But Yishalach HaSoyim, at the end of the year, now the waters, Baruch Hashem, have subsided. Noach wants to see whether we can leave the teva, and he sent out the oirev, the crow or the raven. Amr Yish Lakish, Shuv Nitzachas Eshiva Oirev LeNoach. The oirev gave a good response to Noach. What was his response? Remember, we had this a few days ago. The word Shuv Nitzachas doesn't mean that it's a winning argument. It means that it's a strong, convincing argument. What did he say to Noach? Amaloi, Rab Chasayani, Viatas Nisani. Kodesh Baruch Hu hates us, and you hate us. What does he mean? Because the Oyrev, as we know, is one of the Oyfeis HaTemeyos. It says in the Pasuk, V'eis kol Oyrev leminoi. It's a trefa bird. Rabach Sinani, mena tohirim shiva, mena temeyim shashnayim. Can you imagine discrimination? From the kosher birds, there are seven. From the trefa birds like me, the tummy birds, are only two. V'atas in Asani, and you've compounded it. Sha'ata miniach mimin shiva, v'shalech min shnayim. If you want to go and test the waters and test the surface outside, why don't you take those birds that are seven? So even if one gets lost and doesn't come back, you still got six. With me, there are two of us. If I get lost or don't come back, that'll be the end of all Irvin. So as you can see, the Oyrev was raving about his situation to Noach. What are you doing to me? In Pogami Sarchama Oysar Tzina, Lenim Tzoylam Chosa Beriachas. If I'm going to be hit by either the malach that's in charge of the heat or in charge of the cold, I might either die from the heat or from the cold, and there'll only be one left, and that's my mate, the Mrs. Raven, and she cannot produce on her own. Maybe the reason why you're sending me away is because you want to go and live with my wife, with the Mrs. Raven, with the Mrs. Oyrev. So Noach answered him, Omoloi, Russia, you evil spirit, you evil oirev. The mutali nesali, benesali lekolchgein. Madach, I'm not allowed to even live with my own wife, because as we know, as Rashi brings in Chumash, and the Gemara is going to bring right now, that during the period of the Mabul, Noach was not allowed to live with his wife, and the Bnei Noach were not allowed to live with their wives. So Madach, I can't live with my own wife, I'm going to be able to live with yours. Come on, are you crazy? How do we know, Taka, that there was no Tashmish Amita in the teva? The chassidus says, "Basal the teva, at uvenecha, you and your sons, v'ishtecho neshei venecha itach, and your wife and your daughters-in-law." L'choyer it should go and say, "You and your wife and your sons and the daughters-in-law." No, there was, if you will, a mechitza between them. The males went first, and then the women went second. Uksiv, however, when they left the teva, tzeimen ha-teva, at v'ishtecho, go out with your wife. So we see from that, from this we see that the whole year they were separated, the men and the women, even from their own spouses. Mashenki, when they came out, then they were reunited.
Well, they say there were, for example, there were seven of the Behemoth HaJahor.
Correct.
So, but that means there were 14. So when it says Shnayim,
what do you mean? What do you mean 14? Seven altogether.
No,
Ishvi Ishvi, seven altogether. To my knowledge, I'm not aware that it was 14. Maybe there's.
I thought it meant there were seven pairs.
I don't think so. Then maybe there is a pirush like that, but I think the roiv and the mafarshim understand it to mean seven altogether. If you're wondering,
seven, so one's going to be left without a mate.
Oh, so you remember the pasuk said that he brought a carbon from those seven. Look in the Mefarshim, how many Kabbanis they brought, whether they only brought one or they brought three. but they brought enough to even it out.
Okay.
No problem. Talking about Shloisha Shimshim Teva, there were three that sinned inside the Teva. Can you imagine? The whole purpose of the Teva is to go and insulate them from the sinners. In the Teva itself, we had three sinners. For Kulam Lokan, all three of them eventually were punished. The Kelev, the dog, Oirev, that's the raven that we're talking about, and Chom, that was the son of Noach. Kelev Nikshar, ever since then, the dog has always been on a leash, so it doesn't have its freedom, except for on the west side, where the owners let them off their leash, but otherwise they're always on a leash. Oirev is rock. What does it mean, Oirev is rock? Rock means to go and spit. So Rashi says something fascinating, and I was not aware of that, but Rashi brings on the right-hand margin, five lines from the top, that when the Oirev and the Mrs. Oirev want to mate, instead of mating like other types of human beings or animals or birds, they roikik zera mipiv lepia shel nekeva. They go and spit from the husband's mouth into the woman, and boom, that's how the Oirev reproduces. Obviously, this is kind of a humiliating type of experience, and so therefore that's loku, that's how they were punished. Chom loka b'oiroi, chom and all of his einikluch, loka b'oiroi, that they are black-skinned and not white-skinned. V'yishalach ha'se yoyna me'itoi, li'iroi sakalu amai me'al p'nei ha'aretz. He sent now the yoyna. Amr b'yermia mekanchi dirosin shal oifois tohoirim im ha'tzadikim. That an oif tohor wants to be close to a tzadik, wants to cleave to the tzadik. How do I know? Because in the previous pasuk it says, v'yishalach es ha'oirev. Here it says Veishalach Hesayoyna Meitoi. So Drashim Meitoi means that until now the Oif Tor, the Yoyna, lived in the Sviva, in the Dalar Amis, so to speak, of the Tzaddik, and now the Tzaddik Noach had to go and release him out of the Teva Meitoi. Vinei Ali Zayis Torah Befia comes back with an Ali Zayis in its mouth. Amar Bluza Amar Yonav Nekudish Baruch Rabbi Nishaloyim Yimazoynoyis Merurim Kizayis. I would prefer that my Mazoynis be Moror, that they be bitter like zeisim, like olives. Umesurim biyotcha, but you're the one that's supplying it directly. Rather than getting in sweet food, sweet as honey, and that it's being dispensed to us through Noach. Noach did a great job. We have great gratitude to Noach. But nevertheless, I prefer getting directly from you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the lashon of the Ali Zayif was Torah Bafia. My mashma. The way the Gemara is explaining it is, Vinei Alizayis, this Alizayis Torah was like food in my mouth, and I love this food, even though it happens to be bitter, but I prefer getting it from you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we see that Torah means? Mezoinis Tachziv, Hatrifeni Lechem Chukai. Go, Kadosh Baruch Hu, supply me with food. So we see Hatrifeni is from Lashon of food. It says at the end of the Mabul, Mishmachiseyem Yotzim and Ateva, Omer B'yoychanan, Mishmachisom V'loi Heim. It was to the Mishmachis and not them. This is a little bit schwer. In fact, if you look at the Masoret Shas, he writes, Kosa Be'er Sheva Lo Yodana Pirushai. I don't understand what the Pirush, what do these words mean? And then he brings some Marshah and from other Mepharshim. But apparently, the easy pshat is the Mishmachisom V'loi Heim means that until now they were all combined and all collected together in the Teva, but now that they're leaving the Teva, the Mishpachosim, they left each Mishpacha, the elephant Mishpacha went separately, and the horse Mishpacha went separately. Tleihaman didn't allow for an irvuvia of the Chayis and the Behemoth, everybody went their own way. Eliezer is talking about the Eliezer Eved Avraham, and he was speaking to Shem Rabba. Shem Rabba means the great Shem, meaning Shem, the son of Noach. So Eliezer, Eved Avram, and Shem overlapped. And Eliezer and Shem had a discussion, had a dialogue. Simlin v'chayseyem yotzim en hatefa. Otum heichon havisan. Tell me, how did it work out in the teva until you were all released to freedom? Oh, Malaysi told him, Tzargot lo hiyon b'teva. It was not easy at all. Life in the Teva was not a utopia. To the contrary. Obviously, they couldn't go and buy anything in the supermarket or from the grocer. All the food that they had was stored there in the Teva. And Noach was the one supplying the food. Presumably he had some assistance from his sons, and they were supplying the food to all of the animals and to all the oifis, etc. Now, there were many animals that eat during the day, so he had to go and feed them during the day. There are other animals and birds that eat only at night. For instance, the bat is the one that always flies at night, and presumably it eats at night, so he had to go and feed them at night. So he never had any sleep. And it came to the Zakisa, Noach didn't know what the Zakisa's diet was. What does it eat? We asked the Zakisa, and it was mum, it was silent. So we didn't know what the Zakisa eats. Yoimachad, one day, Abi Yosef, a kapali remoina. Tati, Noach, was going and peeling remoinim, pomegranates. And as he's peeling them, nofel telata mino, he saw how a worm fell out from the pomegranates whilst he was peeling them. And the Zakisa went over and achla, ate up the worm. Oh, mekan ve'elech. From now on, now Noach knows that Zakisa eats worms. Havel govel lo chizra. He would go and make some sort of dough or porridge. In other words, the word govel is from a lashon of kneading. He would knead a dough or a porridge of some sort and let it stand. It would stand for a few days. And what do you think happened after a few days? Kimisla, when it became wormy, then he gave it to the Zakisa Achla, and the Zakisa ate from those worms. And Aryeh, which is referring to a lion, Ishta Zinsei. Everything okay?
Lost the connection.
What's the connection with what? No, you didn't lose the connection. I hear you. You don't hear me?
Now we do.
Okay, Brother Shai. Don't be shy to speak up if you don't hear me.
Okay.
Good. So, an Aryeh, and Aryeh, a lion, Ishta Zinsei. The word zinze over his lashon mizoinus. It was supported by the heat, by its own heat from its body heat. The Yomarav libatze mishita v'leitfei mitracer zina ishta. That if a person, lahavdil, is feverish, and now the Gemara is telling us the same thing applies to animals, that during that period of time, he or she or it does not need to eat. If you have a person who's nebuch, feverish, in a coma, whatever, he can survive without eating for days at a time. So Gemara says from 6 to 12 days, the Ari was able to go and support itself without eating because it was so feverish, it was so hot. Presumably, after the 12 days or whatever, Noach gave it a portion and then it happened again. And therefore, you didn't have to feed the lion great amounts because each time it was feverish, it was hot, and this went on apparently throughout the days of the Teva. Rashi even brings another pshat that the fever is so all-encompassing that maybe it doesn't mean 6 days to 12 days, maybe it means 6 months to 12 months. Therefore, the entire 12 months, the lion was in a coma, comatose type of situation where it didn't eat anything. But Rashi says, that doesn't appear to me to be the correct pshat. It's more the 6 to 12 days and not the 6 months to 12 months. Okay, now we get to Avarshina. What's an Avarshina?
He's going to feed him something, though.
That's right. It doesn't tell us what he fed, but remember, it doesn't tell us what he fed anything. The only thing that we know what they ate was that Zakisa that ate the worms. As far as the rest, we know for sure that Noach brought in a whole big supply of food for everyone and everything. Exactly what everybody ate, it doesn't say. That was in the Midbar, but not in the Dor HaMabul. In the Dor HaMabul, the man wasn't created yet. Anyway, the Gemara continues now. Avarshina. Avarshina, says Rashi, is the name of an oif, a name of a bird. And in the Tanakh, it is called choyl, as we'll see in another two lines. So Avarshina is called choyl. Ashkechinei Abba digoni bisafna de tivusa. Abba, again, shame, is talking to Eliezer. And he says, Tati, meaning Noach, found this Avarshina, this special choyl bird, that it was kind of sleeping there in a corner of the teva, in the bottom of the teva. Omalei labisim zayni. How come you never come online, for the soup kitchen? How come you never come to eat something? Omalei chazicha dehavetrida. So you see that this bird was a really nice bird, and he says, I saw you were busy, I didn't want to bother you, you have a genik tircha, with all those other hundreds and thousands of animals and birds and wild animals and chayis and behemis and all the rest. I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to give you pay. You should never die. you're such a good skite that you didn't want to bother Tati, even though he's busy anyway 24/7 feeding all the animals and all the birds and all the rest, and you didn't want to. Abrucha shlei tomish. And then it says in the pasuk, Va'oymer imkinei egva v'kachoyl arbiyom. Vachoyl, that's the name of the bird that we spoke about. Arbiyom should have a riches yom v'shonim, because it was such an idle bird, it didn't want to bother Noach. Amr v'chuna bar levoi, Amr shem rab l'Eliezer. Shem is speaking to Eliezer, ki also alaychu malchi mizruch amarev, atun hechi avdisu. He said to Eliezer, when the times of Avram Avinu, when the Malchi Mizruch Amarev came to fight, right, the Kedor Lo'oymer and Elosar and all those that are mentioned in the Pasuk, what did you do? Amalais, he said, Aisi Kedosh Baruch Hu Avram, Kedosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu, Va'isvei B'miyaminei, he had him sit down, Kaviyochel, to the right of the Rabbein Shalem. Va'vashadin and Afra, and he would throw down Ofer down below, Va'havacharbi, and from that Ofer, the soil turned into sword. Gili, we threw down straw, Bahavi Giri, and they became arrows. Shinema Mizma Dobanuma Shem Ladoini, Shev Lemini. So he's saying Ladoini, Shev Lemini, saying to Avram, sit to my right. At Osha Sevecha Doimilaglecha, Uksiv, Mihair Mimizrach Tzedek, Riker Eul Ragloi, Eaten Lafan of Goyim, Amulachim Yered, Eaten Ke Offer Charboi. Oh, the offer turned into a Cherev, Kekash, Nidav Kashle, and from the straw became the keshes, meaning the bow and arrow that was shot. Many of you will remember this metaphor and this talking about Ofer turning in charovois and kash turning into gili, into giri, into arrows. That reminds us of the story of Nochem Ishkamzu, which is a mitzvah, the Gemara that we're going to talk about tomorrow. Everybody should have a blessed Shabbos. Zakeben, Zakezint.